Thanks for popping into Diving Into Deep Waters. I'm your host, Erin Rowling, and I'm so honored that you have chosen to spend some time with me as we discuss different topics that might stretch us a bit. But just know you're not diving in alone because I'm right here with you. So let's jump in. Good day. I was going to say good afternoon, but I realize who knows when you're listening to this podcast. That may not even mean anything to you. I closed the windows. It's raining. And I did that so you didn't think that someone was peeing the entire time that you were listening to this podcast, because that's what it sounds like with the rain. That may not be a cool sound. But I want to start off saying, so if you're a parent, you can probably totally relate to what I'm about to talk about real quick before we dive in. And if you're not a parent, you will understand maybe a little bit what parents go through. We're so relieved when our kids actually are like all under our roof. Like when we have all of our kids together, there's just like this feeling of like, okay, I can breathe, I'm at peace. And especially like if your kid goes on a trip, if they ever go out of state or fly anywhere, there's just like something that happens to you when your kid leaves. My daughter Elizabeth went hiking in Colorado for 10 days, and she went with a youth group, but I didn't know anybody personally from the youth group. Like a girl from work told her about the trip. And so like when she told us about it, she didn't even tell us the right church that it was with. So let's just say I didn't have a ton of information of who she was going with. And a few nights before she went, I started to have like these dreams that they were going to like kidnap her and they were going to sell her. So when I dropped her off with these people that I don't know, I did tell them. I was like, yeah, I've had dreams that you sold my kid. Just so that they would be aware that I was aware that if they were going to sell my kid, I was aware. I know it sounds stupid, but I did. My daughter's probably like, oh my gosh, mom, you're so embarrassing. But my second concern with this trip too was that she had torn her ACL last year and had surgery. And so like hiking, and she kind of tweaked it a little bit. So we had taken her to the doctor. We got it okayed and everything, but I still was just nervous. Like, what if she stepped wrong? What if she fell? And all I could think of is, you know, if that happens, you know, they're in the middle of the mountains of Colorado and they're going to have to like send an emergency team and helicopter down. That, I mean, like the things that go through your head as a parent when your kid is in these situations. And then they were like sending us updates via a cellular phone, like a satellite phone. And so like it showed their coordinates and stuff. So like each day I was like, okay, well then they didn't send any coordinates for like 3 days. Let's just say I was pretty convinced my kid had been kidnapped. Finally, I just prayed. It was like a Friday. And I was just like, okay, God, I just need to know my kid is okay. Like, I have no way to track her. I don't know where she is. I don't know what she's doing. Is she alive? Has she been sold? Is her knee okay? Like, all these questions. And then we got a text that day. I was like, I just need to know, God. And so I got a text saying, hey, we made it back down the mountain. We're good. We're safe. And then, of course, my husband, let me just say this, the difference between men and women, when I hadn't heard from her a few days, my husband says to me, well, no news is good news. Yeah, I don't think so. That is not how a mom approaches that. But we got the message, and then she actually called us. We were doing a wedding rehearsal. My husband was officiating, and so we were practicing the wedding. I was like, excuse me. My daughter's calling. I need to take this phone call. Of course, again, here is the difference between a mom and a dad. My first question is, are you okay? Are you hurt? Is your knee okay? And my husband's first question is, are you having fun? So that just shows the difference between a mom and a dad. Of course, when she got home, like, she probably doesn't even know this, but like, I cried just hugging her, just the relief I felt that she was home, she was safe, she had a great time. And you know, like, you never get that understanding until you become a parent of like the trauma that your parent feels when you're gone. And, you know, she's leaving in a week for college, so that's another story. But I just had to share that whole little experience that I went through. She's safe, and now we're going to be sending her off to college. So on to topic this week. So I was talking to a friend the other Sunday, and they were sharing, it's a couple, and they were sharing how their life was about to change, and they're moving to another state. And as we were talking and they were sharing, they had so many like exciting feelings, but also like a lot of like feeling overwhelmed and like uncertainty was also present in as we were talking. And they were sharing how they felt like God had some new things for them and they were excited. But at the same time, they were super nervous about like what God was going to do as they embark on this new journey. And the conversation reminded me of a song that I've been listening to while I've been running. Yes, probably several podcasts will include songs because I'm listening to a lot of different songs right now and they're inspiring a lot of different thoughts. And I was thinking about the one line in the song says, "You've got me on the edge." And just that line, like every time I hear it when I'm running, because I don't remember to make a new playlist. Like I'm running several times a week and I still have not made a new playlist. Like what's wrong with me? Like I know I'm going to run the next day. Why haven't I done that? But I go to run. I'm like, oh shoot. So listen to the song a lot. And, it just reminds me of all the times that God has had me on the edge in my life. Now, when I picture the edge, in my mind, I picture like being like literally on the edge. Like if you make one wrong move, you're going to like fall off, like that kind of being on the edge. Not like the Instagram photos where it's like, people are like, the guy is throwing the girl over the edge and she looks happy to have this experience. Cause I'm sitting there looking at that picture going, oh my gosh, you better move back. Like you're way too close to the edge. Don't you know you could fall? You could drop her. She's like, it kind of makes me sick sometimes. Like the older I've gotten, like heights and stuff have get to me a little bit more. And so like, it just makes me nauseous seeing when people are like right on the edge of something. All I can think of is, oh my gosh, you're going to fall off. But there is something about being on the edge in your life that's exhilarating, but also like petrifying all at the same time. And like when I was 11, we went to Guatemala for a summer. My mom wanted to be a missionary. She felt called to be a missionary. So we went there for like a trial run just to like see if that's where God was calling her to go. So my mom, my sister, and I went. While we were there, we thought, what can we do while we're here? Well, what's the answer to that question? Climb a volcano. Yes, I said volcano. So we later found out, like after we climbed it, I remember my mom telling somebody we climbed it and they were like, oh, did you have a guide? And we had no guide. We just climbed this volcano by ourselves, which, you know, we were Brian women. We are like tough. We can do this kind of thing. Actually, I think we were crazy. But anyways, Brian was my last name before I got married. But so we climbed this volcano and I remember when we were climbing it, like we got to the top of this little mountain and I kept thinking like, as we were climbing, like, oh, we just got to get to the top. There's the volcano. And so we got to the top of this like little peak. And I remember looking up and my mom going, there's the volcano. And it was like this massive structure that was like, oh my gosh, we're not even like a fourth of the way like to the top of this thing. But we did it. We got to the very top of it. And like there was like kind of a part you could stand. I don't remember if there were ropes saying like, you shouldn't go any closer, if we disregarded that, or if there weren't any ropes. I'm not sure. I can't really remember that fact. I guess I should ask my mom. But either way, we decided to get on our bellies and kind of like inch our way up to the mouth of the volcano. Like actually like the like where you could look in, you could see like, I mean, the sulfur smell. It had erupted before, so I mean everything was black and charred and like nothing was living there, like the lava, you know, walking on that as it was already hardened, you know, it was not like real like red lava, it was black lava. And just like feeling, I remember literally like sticking my hands inside the mouth of that volcano and just like seeing the fire down in there, and just that feeling of like actually being like so overwhelming, petrified, but at the same time, like this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life or experienced in my life. I mean, it was like terrified and amazing and exhilarating all in the same moment. On a side note, that volcano actually erupted. Later, like, I don't remember how long it was after we climbed it, but it erupted not too long after we climbed it, hence the fire inside of it. I don't know. I don't know what made us think that that was a good thing to do, but it's a memory I will have for the rest of my life. And I mean, who can say, not many people can say, yeah, I climbed a volcano and stuck my hand inside of like an active volcano. It was active. But when I think about that experience, I think, how could I at like 11 years old not have been scared out of my mind? Because I mean, I had confidence in the fact that my mom and my sister were with me. And despite like I felt petrified and I felt safe all at the same time, like those two feelings existed in the same realm. And I mean, I'm sure it was, I mean, obviously, like, I felt safe because, which I probably shouldn't have felt safe looking back, because my mom and my sister, like, I was in between the two of them at the mouth of the volcano. And I remember both of them holding on to me, like, each one holding on to my shirt. Like, really, what was that going to do if I fell in? I don't think they would have caught me. But That whole encounter stirs up the thought of like how God can put us on the edge, which can totally freak us out. But in the midst of that, we still have this confidence that God has placed us there, brought us there, and He is there with us. Like when Paul and I started our church, I would definitely say God brought us to an edge. Like we didn't place ourselves at the edge. And through different circumstances, like being kicked out of our other church, you're probably like, oh my gosh, what did you do to get kicked out of your church? We just began to have a desire to be used. And that was not going well with the church we were at. And it's like, you know, God brought us to an edge. Like I remember like sitting there, like pleading with the people on the board, like we want to stay. Like we don't need, we're fine. We're good. Like, I mean, retracting like the things that God was stirring up inside of us. Like we were like, oh no. That's okay. Like kind of like God was putting us on the edge and we were like backing away from it because it was just felt so like, okay, we don't need to be here. And God was like, oh no, I have placed you on the edge and you can try to back away from it, but I'm just going to keep putting you back to the edge. And like, I'm going to close this door and like, you're not going to have anywhere else to go except be at the edge. And I kind of feel like more than just being on the edge, I feel like at that time, it was like, you know how like in movies and stuff like that, they have like a branch like from the cliff, you know, and there's like the person's holding on. That's kind of more how I feel like in that situation we were, like we were on the edge and then God placed us on the branch on the edge. Like we couldn't even be on the edge. It was like the edge of the branch on the edge. That's really where I think we were at that time. And yet the amazing thing to me, despite the confusion, because there was a tremendous amount of confusion and hurt and betrayal and sadness, we still, despite all of those feelings that we had and not liking being in that spot and like kept trying to back away from it, we still had confidence that we were not alone. That is like an overwhelming thing that I know that we both felt, is we knew that God was with us on the edge. Like he wasn't just placing us on the edge and then just like, okay, I have you here and I'm going to shut every door for you to back away and good luck. Like it was never any of those feelings. It was just like this sheer confidence that God was with us, which is such an amazing thing and just like such an overwhelming feeling, knowing that despite that feeling like of terror, being terrified, there's also can be this feeling of confidence that God is with you. One of my favorite lines from this song, from a song, is we have this confidence because we've seen the faithfulness of God. Like we had seen God's faithfulness other times of being on the edge. So there was this amazing confidence in the fact that, okay, we're here. We don't like it. We don't know what's going on, but yet we have the confidence in the faithfulness of God. One of the amazing things that happens when you're on the edge is, think about it for a second. When you finally like calm yourself down, after maybe you've kicked and screamed and like tried to get away from the edge because it's scary and all of those things, like when you stop and you just like take a breath, think about like maybe you've been on, maybe you've hiked somewhere. Like when we were on the edge of that volcano, like as scary as it was, there was something tremendous that our eyes laid on, was like this, the belly of the volcano that we got a glimpse of and the fire and the awesomeness of it. Or you think of like my daughter, she climbed this mountain and at the peak, like she said, like the clouds would part. She said one of her favorite parts was sitting in the clouds, but you know, it would part and you would have this amazing view. And because when we're on the edge, God can begin to open our eyes to some brand new opportunities. Like when you're standing there and you get a glimpse of like, oh, there's something amazing out there past the edge. There's like something incredible that's about to happen. And we will never get to those, that moment, unless we just like settle ourselves down and are open. Like you have to stop kicking and screaming and being upset about being on the edge and like open yourself up to the fact like, oh, there's some new possibilities here. And something that's just like kind of hit me as I was thinking about this was really the story of Moses. You know, I always like to bring every topic that we discuss and find like, how does this get confirmed through scripture? Because otherwise it's just a bunch of my mumble jumble talking. And I just thought about the story of Moses. And I mean, let's just go back to the beginning of Moses, like right off the bat. Moses' life is in danger. Like his mom is brought to the edge, like right off the bat. From the moment of his birth, there is an edge moment. And in order to save her son's life, she has to like put him in a basket and put him in the river. And like, that's crazy. And in Exodus 2 verse 1, if you want to like read through the story, it says, when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him. See, right there, Moses' mom, Jochebed, if you were wondering her name, because she has a name. She's more than Moses' mom. Her name is Jochebed. She is brought to the edge, and she sees that there is something about her son that is special, and that she needs to save him, his life from Pharaoh, who has ordered all of the Israelite boys that were born to be put to death. Like, they're seeking out newborn boys, and they're going to kill them because it's been foretold that the Messiah, who's going to, you know, take over, is coming. And Pharaoh feels like, oh gosh, he's going to take my place. So he's like, oh, I'll fix that. I'll just kill all the male Israelites, and then that problem is solved. Now, I just want to pause here for a second, because sometimes I think we read through these Bible stories, like, I'm guilty of this, okay? We read through them and we just kind of like, oh, so it was like the Israelites were being killed and Moses' mother like put him in a basket and put him in the river. And we don't really like take in the weight of the situation. I mean, come on, mamas. Like, mamas, feel me on this. Can you imagine trying to keep your child from being slayed? Like, when you're giving birth, we have like these, you know, ideas of giving birth, and we want to make it the, you know, when they come into the world, the most like magical moment for them, and like have photos and all these things. But here Jochebed is giving birth to her son, and knowing that if they hear his cries, he's gone. Like, his life will be taken. And he'll be slayed. Like, this is on the edge, right? I mean, how more could you be on the edge? I mean, when was the last time, mamas, that you had to make a basket and like tar it up and like put your 3-month-old baby in a basket and put it in the water? Like, water. Like, this is like probably, I don't know, don't quote me on this, because some theologians can be like, it wasn't the Nile. I think it was the Nile. And I'm sure there's crocodiles and stuff. There was things in there that can eat your child in a basket, or it can flip over. This has never happened to any of us that I know of. And yet this is a real life story. I mean, this story is not just in there like, oh, here's a story, let me tell you a tale. No, this is a real mom. Like, take that, just please take that in for a second. Like, I don't know. As I was preparing this, like, I actually got emotional just thinking like, oh my gosh, that's so real. This was a real moment for a mama who was like, my child could be killed. And yet she saw something inside of him that she knew she had to protect. And it was an incredible amount of faith that she had, that God was watching over her son to even put him in that basket. And she had to trust that God was going to watch out for him. Like, crazy. Like, I can't even trust a youth group to take my kid into the mountains without thinking they're going to like sell her. And here this mom is trusting by putting her baby in a river. Like, that's nuts. And you just have to realize, like, okay, God gave this woman, like, she must have had a relationship with Jesus to have, for him to impart the wisdom to her to not only like protect his life with everything she could, but to trust him to put him in that basket, put him in the river, and then like have the wisdom on top of that to have her daughter stand watch. And that's a big responsibility for that little girl. That's like big sister responsibility. And what happens? Like, God orchestrates. I mean, God's on it. God is, he puts her on the edge, but God is on it. He has Pharaoh's daughter hear the cries. They find the baby. She sees that it's a Hebrew child. Like, it's not, you know, their child. It's a Hebrew child. And, you know, the daughter comes forth. What incredible, like, she's a little hero, comes forth and is like, hey, I know someone who can nurse this baby for you. And so goes and gets her mom, brings her back. I mean, can you imagine? Like, I know the relief I feel when my child is back under my roof and is safe. Can you imagine the relief that Jochebed felt when she was brought before Pharaoh's daughter and she could take her son back into her arms and hold him and be like, okay, he's safe and I get to nurse him and I get to be with him for the next several years until he's ready and old enough to be in Pharaoh's house. Like, what a moment of relief she must have felt, and that her son was no longer in danger. Like, he wasn't going to be killed. And all of this happened because God allowed her to take her to the edge and trust that he was going to protect her son. I mean, like, this woman is my hero. Like, no wonder she made the Bible. Like, if I was in Bible times, I would not have made the Bible, because God be like, that woman, I sent her daughter into the wilderness and she just worried the whole time. I wouldn't have made it. But in this song, You Got Me on the Edge, there's a part in the bridge that recites a Bible verse, and it's like my favorite part of the song. And when it comes on, like, I get so excited because, like, you know, like, it's the music build up and it's like, I'm like, yes, okay. And I'm like, I declare it out loud. Thankfully, no one is running by me. I was running one time with my daughter and I was like, I looked at her. She had her earphones in, so she probably couldn't hear me, but I was like saying it to her. People think I'm a little crazy probably if they run by me. And it says, behold, I am doing a new thing in the land. It springeth forth. This is my favorite part. Do you perceive it? See, it's based out of Isaiah 43:19. You can look it up. It says, see, I am doing a new thing, and now it springeth forth. Do you perceive it? That word perceive. Just say it. Just say it right where you're at. I feel like I'm in church. Just say perceive. Perceive means to become aware or conscious of something, to realize or understand. And similar words are discern or recognize. Jochebed perceived. Take that in. Jochebed perceived that Moses was special. She perceived it. She didn't know the outcome of the story. You and I, we get to read the story. We know what Moses goes on to do, like how God calls him forth, but she perceived that he was special. She perceived that there was a reason for this child. She didn't know that he would become the deliverer of the Israelites, yet she perceived and was aware that his life must be spared. She was on the edge, yet she perceived and she trusted. Friends, maybe you're on the edge. Like, if you could, I'd be like, raise your hand. you know if you're on the edge or not. And maybe up to this point, you have resisted. You were like Paul and I when we were in our situation on the edge and we were like, back it up. Like, back this truck up. I need to back up because I'm on the edge and I don't like it. And you haven't allowed God to place you there willingly. You've seen the edge and you just, not having it. Because, we get it. It's scary. It's unknown. It's petrifying. But what if we changed our perspective of the edge? What if instead of resisting being placed on the edge, our perspective changed? And we changed it from getting away from it to, God, you have a reason. And I'm going to perceive that you are about to do something new in my life. So yes, I might feel petrified, but I'm also excited that I'm here. And I'm going to trust that you are here with me and that you're up to something really awesome. I might not be able to see how being here is for your glory, but I, like Jochebed, will trust that you see the big picture and that one day I'm going to see exactly how you were working. What if our perspective changed to that? And we didn't resist the edge. And we embraced it. And we said instead, behold, you are doing a new thing. And it is about to spring forth. And I perceive it. And I trust you. Instead of being petrified, be like looking. God, what are you about to do? I see that you're about to do something really crazy and be excited. Yes, you're going to be scared. There's lots of people in the Bible who are scared. But what are you going to do, God? Come on, let's live on the edge together. I know it's scary, but I would rather be on the edge and perceive that something's about to happen and see what God wants to spring forth in my life than living where it's safe and boring. I don't know about you, but boring is boring. Let's live on the edge together. Amen.